Indiana's determined to move as quickly as any state in putting to good use the federal stimulus funds and trying to play our part, we hope, in bringing economic life back to the country. As part of that, we have already, ahead of any state I know of, released the first list of highway projects, and today we're releasing a second list. And taken together, this is about $80 million of the $440 that the state will spend directly. We will have subsequent lists as fast as they can be prepared, compliance with all the laws. On the map there, you see the spread of these projects across the state in the first two installments. And the first bids, I'm told, will be on the first set, will be open today. And so work's going to begin very, very soon. We do expect sometime in the next few days to send to the Federal Highway Department, our overall blueprint for the use of the $440 million, as well as that which will pass on through to local units. So we've said from the beginning this we would make speed and jobs our two guiding principles, and today we take the second step toward fulfilling that goal. Yeah.
Michigan. I just wonder what you thought about that and whether there's anything Indiana can do to try to make sure the money gets to
Yeah. Well, I think this was a locally run project, and I think localities ought to model what the state has done. Our Buy Indiana program, now in its fourth year, has raised the percentage of state dollars going to Indiana firms by from about somewhere about 60 to 84-85%. And I would hope that localities would be equally mindful of that. But clean water projects are handled by the local officials, and that's what happened in this case.
Are there any Buy Indiana requirements as you accept
the bid? NDOT has its own application of the policy. They have to also stay in compliance with the federal rules, but we have dramatically increased the percentage of highway projects also going to Indiana firms, and I would expect that very much to apply here. Everybody in our administration knows that our view is that when Indiana tax dollars are spent, they are to be spent to the benefit of Indiana firms and workers. I'm not sure that's fair at this point. There are some questions we haven't got answers to yet. Some of the departments have not yet issued guidelines or regulations, so there may be strings we haven't heard about yet. But with only an exception or two, I think we'll be able to utilize these funds in the ways for which they were intended and in ways that are very useful to Indiana. So far, I haven't seen big problems of that kind. Well, first of all, we're conferring with them very regularly. Secondly, they have already participated in a very direct way. Indiana has a real advantage in this highway context because of the major moves transaction. Unlike all the governors I visited with earlier this week who have been starved for money, we have a 10-year list of projects that we know we will have the funds for. And the legislature, as well as the public and local officials, were very involved, if you recall, in the process which put that list together. So a great advantage we have, one reason we're able to move fast, is we've got this list. We're just pulling projects forward off a list that already exists. In other states, they're scrambling to decide what heretofore unaffordable projects to begin. So my view is the legislature participated very actively in putting this plan together to start with. Those who were interested in it, we're conferring with them as we do this, but remember, the president has asked for speed, and I agree, and we're going to move as fast as we can, I hope faster than other states. Also remember that there may be states who don't meet some deadlines and forfeit some dollars. I'd like for Indiana to potentially be a beneficiary of that if it happens.
So I guess I should ask, will all of the dollars that we know Indiana's getting from transportation be essentially spoken for before April 29th?
Well, I don't know. I've told NDOT, by the way, your fact sheet mentions monthly lettings. I've told them I want more than monthly. We did two this month, and so I hope they can move even faster, but at warp speed, it will take some time. I would just say this. We have an agreed-upon 10-year plan, and someone who wants to pull something out of it or pitch something brand new into it will have to carry a pretty good burden of proof as to why we should start tinkering or tampering with a program that's been carefully thought through with participation all around.
What about all the rest of the money that the state is getting? At what stage in the process are you moving for determining how education dollars are spent?
In the case of education, most of the money will flow straight through to local school districts. We talked about this before. In other states, it may not even be enough to get them back to where they were a year or two ago. Indiana's different. And it's very clear every Indiana school district is going to see a very large increase next year and the year after. The question is, how much is enough? And how do we make sure that people do not build in spending commitments and then fall off a cliff in 2 years? So that's education. With regard to the rest, Becky is supervising those funds, which will flow not to the Highway Department and not to the Clean Water Fund, which we have a very good established process for, but to all the other agencies of state government. And next Monday is our next a roundup on our thoughts about that. And then with regard to anything else, we're just looking at it very, very carefully. How much more Medicaid cost are we likely to have, for instance? Going to be significant, and we're running some estimates of that.
What about the unemployment insurance fund? Because some governors have said that what the federal government would do would basically just drive up your unemployment rates even more than what they are now because of the way the system's set up.
Yeah, you're talking about that option, that one option in this bill. Well, we made no final decision, but at this point it looks like a bad fit and a bad bargain for Indiana. In exchange for some short-term money, a state would have to commit itself to very large expansions of benefits and eligibility going forward, very expensive. We've got a UHI system that's already out of balance. It has the third highest benefits in America. And so it's probably a bad deal for Indiana, leading to very large job-killing taxes on businesses and workers. So probably we will respectfully decline, as several states have indicated. I saw the Democratic governor of Tennessee most recently saying doesn't look like a good bet from their standpoint, for instance.
This week the House bill, the unemployment insurance bill, mm-hmm.
Well, it was a complete and utter failure. After all that time, they completely failed, 100%. Did not come up with a plan in which the arithmetic worked. Wasn't anything for anybody to vote on, and wouldn't expect a member of either party to vote for something that doesn't solve the problem. So fine, it's a tough problem. The Senate, I think, has some excellent people. We're in regular touch about our general views of this, and we'll stay there. But so all the work falls to the Senate, and that's okay. I think we'll see a good bill from them and get a solution eventually.
Senator Long said you could possibly leave a special session this issue because it's starting so late in the Senate.
I don't know, it could work out better, actually. There's not, this may be better than if there'd been an atrocious House bill to try to negotiate with. Now there's zero. So they can just write a good bill. Maybe we can agree quickly.
Do you favor changing eligibility requirements?
You mean along the lines of the UI thing? If so, not to make them sweeter, we have the third highest benefits in America right now, and that's why our trust fund has been leaking money in good times. And so the way to solve that is not to make an out-of-balance system further imbalanced.
So do you favor reducing?
Clearly, there are going to have to be changes on the benefit side. We cannot afford Rolls-Royce benefits and eligibility in Indiana unless we want absolutely job-killing taxation levels that will cost people jobs now and cost our ability to attract jobs in the future. So there's going to have to be, I think, some adjustments from both ends. In terms of
the unemployment program.
Adjustments from both ends. We will have to have benefit levels that are something more like the median in America. We are not an abnormally wealthy state. And if the taxes, which I would remind you are ultimately coming out of workers' pockets, have to go up somewhat, then we ought to look at that. I think there will have to be adjustments from both ends, but yes, there will have to be significant adjustments at the top end. We've been through this before. A few years ago, the folks who wrote that, and I don't even know who they were, knew that they had set up a system that was going to hemorrhage money, and it did. When we were at full employment in Indiana, it was still paying out more than it was taking in. And so that tells you that we're going to have to make changes, I think, on both sides of the ledger. Did I say? Well, again, adjustments in both benefits and the revenue source.
How about a direct tax on the workers?
I'm not sure. You know, in the end, any tax like this is a tax on workers. If the business didn't have to pay it, it could pay it. It could put it in somebody's paycheck. So I'm open to different forms of doing this, but the answer cannot solely be to ramp up taxes to match Rolls-Royce benefits levels.
President, the number of taxes have prompted inaction in the House anyway. No one would be the first one to say that they cannot raise now.
You'd have to ask the House. I can always imagine more difficulty, and you know, I think we're up to it. You know, and we'll have to be so.
On the highway projects, I wondered if going forward, when you develop the third and fourth list, are you going to be looking for projects in the counties that don't have any money spent yet, or is that not a factor? Are you simply looking at shovel ready and need?
Well. Speed and the likelihood of new jobs is clearly going to be the first criterion. I would remind you that this map simply reflects these two installments out of what will probably be, I don't know, maybe 10 total. And meanwhile, in Indiana, there's a record amount of road and bridge building going on anyway before you put these dollars on top. And every county virtually is seeing some of that. So, again, this is just reflecting these last two sets of contracts that have been let. But for the stimulus, to honor the intention, we're going to work, certainly we'll promote to the head of the line those projects which already have passed muster on the merits that can get moving quickly. I don't know the answer to any of that, except, you know, I'm about due for another trip, so we make a point of getting there fairly often.
Back on education, do you support the use of some of the Title I money for higher education?
Probably. Once again, if we simply let the education money flow through to Indiana schools, and if we held our own spending at last year's level, you'd have an amazing increase, in some districts more than 25% increase. The Gary schools, which already have the highest per student spending in the state, could not spend all their Title I money last year, but they'd get 30-odd million, a 25% increase. Now, that's probably not the right answer, and so there's some real opportunity here that to work with the legislature on ways to produce a better outcome across the state. I'm not picking on Gary. They just happen to be at the top of that printout. The same thing could be said of many other districts. And again, if we were a bankrupt state, as so many are, if we had already cut education spending, as 35 or 6 states already have, the problem would not be hard. We'd just be filling back up to last year's level or something like it. In our case, if we're creative about it, we can make some investments in higher ed. We can perhaps protect the future of education in Indiana.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have said that a lot of this money should become part of the budget, and the decision should be, they should be involved in making decisions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true in many respects. It needs to be, ultimately, a lot of it will need to be seen as integrated with our budget plans not just for these 2 years, but with an eye to the future. And as we've talked about before, we need to be careful not to build ourselves a cliff, which we then have to fall off in 2 years. I'll give you one very specific. We are going to protect the reserve that we now have in Indiana because I think we're going to need it. If not within these 2 years, then when the 2 years are over. So there's a good example of how we ought to merge it with our budget decisions.
If we include any of the stimulus money, whether it be Medicaid or some of the education stabilization money, does it automatically mean anything budget they pass out
of
the
balance? I'm sorry.
If we rely on stimulus in the budget, does it automatically mean we can't have a balanced budget because we're relying on one?
No, not automatically. It might mean you're spending more than you would have otherwise. But, it's going to take the best management of which we're capable, I think, to stay in balance this year just with Indiana's own resources. And that'll become increasingly difficult, at least until we see some recovery starting, which is probably not imminent.
What are you doing to get the Kern-Shepherd report through the House? And why did you ask MySmartGov to pull those ads? When the ads seem to be saying a lot of what you said yourself, that lawmakers need to not think about their political friends, you're thinking more about the taxpayers.
Yeah. Well, on the second question, as a courtesy to Senator Long, and I cannot say enough good things about Senator Long. He is proving to be a spectacularly effective legislative leader, and this was a great example. I mean, those Kern and Shepherd reforms that did move through the House collectively represent a historic set of changes, and I think would set the, if we could pass them finally, would set the stage for further reform in the future. And that was not easy to do, as you all observed. And so he told me that those ads had been heard and so forth, but if they continued, it might make the job of getting to 26 votes harder. So that's why I said I would make the request, and it worked out very well. So I guess I feel it was the right call. And in terms of what we're doing, we will simply be asking, of course, the speaker to be open to reform, and we'll be asking citizens to, as we have been, to express their support for it. And we all know nothing happens in the House of Representatives that Speaker Bauer doesn't permit. He is never challenged, and his authority is total. So with regard to questions like this or property tax caps, it is a matter of him deciding, either because it's good government, or if that doesn't matter, because it's good politics for him not to let some of these things move forward. And I hope that he'll decide for both reasons that to do that.
Governor, what's your reaction to the House passing a one-year budget?
Oh, let me just say this. It's a good thing we don't give midterm grades. So the House gets a chance to have a much better second half, and I bet they will. The budget's of almost no use at all. In fact, it's of no use at all. It's like the UI situation. The Senate really has to start over. But that's okay. We'll still have a great chance to get to a good outcome. Well, more generally, but I mean, I think certainly to the budget, you know, it would spend the entire surplus. It would trash the health insurance plan, which they voted for on a bipartisan basis, in order to give health benefits to legislators. Not the best idea I've heard. So let's just say, nice try, take a mulligan. And the Senate, I think, will come up with something that's in the interest, much more in the interest of the taxpayer and the state, and we'll get together then.
Governor, why should casinos that have been in business for less than a year get a tax break?
I have no idea.
Does that mean you disagree with the bill that would give them a tax break?
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Have those folks come to you and talk to you at all about the problems and do you have any concerns
They've not come to talk to me. I don't know if they've talked to anybody in the office. They've not come to talk to me.
Governor, follow up on Mary Beth's question. The legislators have told us that they have really not heard much of a public outcry yet from their constituents concerning Kurt and Shepherd. So I'm wondering if you're going to be ratcheting up your own promotional efforts with Governor Kern.
Yeah, we'll be in Fort Wayne, I know, this week. Becky has and Kathy Davis, I guess, were was that your partner? Or?
Marilyn
Schultz. We're in Terre Haute, yes.
Chief.
So the answer is yes, and I know that the SmartGov people are planning on a lot more activity too. But don't underestimate the public support for this. The question is, I mean, I think that's been manifest in every way it can be: public opinion polls, recent elections, assessor referenda, and so forth. And well, you ought to ask the legislators, but I know that it is, and they'll have to tell you whether they consider it a lot or a little.
If there's so much public support for this, they don't underestimate it, then why do you think the legislators are not backing it more?
Well, let's think, Mary Beth. We all know that change comes hard, and particularly a change in a system, in a political system, in which people have friends and old allegiances and maybe sentimental memories of their own days in these other jobs. And I can understand that, but I just think that the case that's been slowly and steadily built, most recently by the commission, for these changes is irrefutable, and I am just very, very, I would really turn it around. I think it was such a terrific display of statesmanship on the part of 28 Republicans who passed this thing all on their own in the Senate last week, and I would, as opposed to criticizing or psychoanalyzing the others, I would like to compliment those who voted for change and reform.
So on this issue, in your mind, there's not two sides or three sides. There's not philosophical differences in governing. There's a right way.
Didn't say that. You know, there are people who may disagree with the conclusion that the commission, hundreds of observers, scholars, editorial writers, and others have come to. I would disagree or differ with them. I was simply responding to Mary Beth's question, why did people find reform hard to support? And in many, many cases, it's because they are creatures of a system, that the very system we're asking them to consider changing. And it's a very human, natural reason to be reluctant.
Further than where they used to be, and the time before the creation of the advisory.
Oh, no, immeasurably better. You omitted the most important part of that bill, which is to lift up to the county level the resource decisions. Right now you've got, as has been reported recently, many townships, many of them sitting on several years' worth of money, but they're still taxing people. There may be a township next door which is short of funds, by the way. The poor people of Marion County will be vastly better served if this were all being done at a countywide level. Right now, the poorest township, Center Township, gets taxed more than it should or would. So the most important part of the reform, in my opinion, is not reducing the number of elected politicians by 3,000, although that's of importance. It is having countywide rationalization of what is now a very unaccountable, usually invisible system of taxing and spending or not spending.
And how bad is it that Marion County is exempt from this bill?
It's not good. But this is the art of the possible. And, you know, what the Senate did achieve is still a huge step beyond anything that's ever happened before, and they should be commended for it. Thank you very much.